The Prophetic Gift in the Gospel Church, Part 1, Chapter 1, How God Communicates with Humanity. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. The above text clearly shows that the Lord has had various ways of speaking to his people in different periods of time. In the earliest record of the human race found in biblical history before sin entered the world, man had communion with God face to face. We learn also that after man had sinned, the Lord instructed his people in an audible voice. In this manner he addressed Adam, Genesis 3, verses 8 to 18, Cain, Genesis 4, verses 6 to 15, Noah, Genesis 6, verses 13 to 22, chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, chapter 8, verse 15, chapter 9, verses 8, 12, and 17, Abraham, Genesis 17, verses 1 to 6, Isaac, Genesis 26, verses 2 to 5, Jacob, Genesis 28, verse 13, Moses, Numbers 12, verses 6 to 8, and Samuel, 1 Samuel 3, verse 4. Angelic Instruction. The Lord spoke also to men through the agency of angels. These holy beings are not, as some suppose, the spirits of dead men, but are beings of a higher order than men, as man was made a little lower than the angels, Hebrews 2, verse 7. In those ancient times, Satan transformed himself into an angel of light, sought to lead men into a false worship of their dead friends and heroes, and represented himself and angels as being the spirits of the dead. The Lord plainly said of such worship and transactions that what was professedly offered to the dead was in reality sacrificed to devils, fallen angels. See Deuteronomy 32, verse 17, Psalm 106, verse 28, and verses 35 to 37, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20. Under the Mosaic dispensation, he strictly forbade any such consulting with familiar spirits, specifying a death penalty for such an offense. Leviticus 17, verse 7, chapter 19, verse 31, chapter 20, verse 27, and Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 to 13. The pure, holy angels are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1, verses 7 and 14. But they never come to represent dead persons. Through the instrumentality of angels, the Lord has often communicated his will to men. In this manner he spoke to Abraham, Genesis 18, verses 1 to 3, to Lot, Genesis 19, verse 1, to Joshua, Joshua 5, verses 13 to 15, to Gideon, Judges 6, verses 11 to 22, and to Manoah, Judges 13. Ancient Prophets. Another mode of communication was by prophets, through visions and dreams. Of these the Lord said, "If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream." Numbers 12, verse 6. Of the visions given to God's servants, the prophets, there seem to have been two kinds, one called open visions, or those given where the individual could be seen while in the vision, and the other called night visions. Reference is made to the former visions in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, where is found the experience of the child Samuel in these words, "The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." There were prophets in those days who had instructions from the Lord, but their visions were not given to them openly before the people. In the previous chapter, at the same date of Samuel's vision, 1165 BC, there came a man of God, a prophet, to Eli, and told him of his wrongs, and predicted the fate of his two sons, that they should both die in one day, etc. 1 Samuel 2, verses 27, 30, and 33. In the same chapter where it is said, there was no open vision, is the record of the vision given to Samuel. It was not an open vision. Not even did Eli see Samuel in the vision. The Lord taught him the tidings he was to bear to Eli. The record of the following morning says, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. 1 Samuel 3, verse 15. Samuel at this time had a vision from God, although it was not an open vision. His vision then must have been of the same character as that called in other portions of the Scripture a night vision. God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night. Genesis 46, verse 2. The dream of Nebuchadnezzar was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Daniel 2, verse 19. So also, Daniel himself had a view in the night visions of Christ coming to the Father to receive his kingdom, Daniel 7, verse 13. On another occasion, he was taken in vision in the midst of Chaldeans. Had they remained, they might have seen him in the vision, an open vision, but instead, a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves, Daniel 10, verse 7. On turning to the New Testament, we find that in Paul's experience, a vision appeared to him in the night. Acts 16, verse 9. And again, it was in the night season that he received that valuable instruction in reference to the shipwreck at Melita. Acts 27, verses 23 and 24. He was also encouraged in a night vision at Corinth. Acts 18, verse 9. So also, in a night vision, the Lord showed him that he must bear witness for him in Rome. Acts 23, verse 11. In Ezekiel 8, verses 1 to 3, is a record of one of Ezekiel's visions, before the elders, an open vision. The vision of Cornelius, Acts 10, verse 3, revised version, was a vision openly. It occurred the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, Acts 3, verse 1, when his family were assembled for prayer. From the above texts, it will be observed that these night visions are treated in the Scriptures as of the same force and origin as the open visions. The following statement in reference to dreams and night visions is found in the book of Job. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from man. Chapter 33, verses 14 to 17. See also Job 4, verses 13 to 17. This mode of communication by prophets was not a matter of rare occurrence in those olden times, for the Lord said of it, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Hosea 12, verse 10. He thus testified to them by all the prophets. 2 Kings 17, verse 13. This he did betimes. In the margin it says continually and carefully. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15. Through these prophets he pleaded with the people to flee from idolatry, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. Jeremiah 44, verse 4. The masses, with their rulers, continued in their wickedness, belied the Lord, and their prophets became wind. Jeremiah 5, verses 12 and 13. They set up their ensigns for signs, and there was no more any prophet. Psalm 74, verses 4 and 9. Then they sought a vision from the Lord, but they found none, because the law perished from the priest. Ezekiel 7, verse 26. When the people were thus left without a prophet, it was a source of great loss to them, as shown by the words of Azariah, the son of Obed, to Asa, king of Judah, when he said, "Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them." 2 Chronicles 15, verses 3 and 4. While Uzziah, king of Judah, gave heed to the word of the Lord by his prophets, prosperity attended him. The record says, "He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death." 2 Chronicles 26, verses 5, 16, and 21. Notwithstanding all these tokens of God's favor, this people fell again into idolatry, and the Lord testified to them by the prophet Jeremiah, "If ye will not hearken to me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth." Jeremiah 26, verses 4 to 6. Disregarding the admonition of the Lord, the people were brought into a position at last where they could see the force of the words of Solomon when he said, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Cast off restraint, Revised Version. "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Proverbs 29, verse 18. Still, however, they persisted in following their own way, walking in the imaginations of their own hearts, until their city was laid in ruins. Then came the lamentation of the prophet Jeremiah, "Her gates are sunk into the ground, the law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord." Lamentations 2, verse 9. Women as prophets. In Old Testament times, the Lord not only used men as prophets, but also devout women were favored with this gift. In the days of the judges of Israel, we have the record of Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth, who was not only a prophetess, but served in the position of judge. Through instructions given by her, their enemies were overthrown, as seen in Judges 4, verse 4, and chapter 5, verse 31. Then, again mention is made of Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, in the days of Josiah, the good king of Judah. She seems to have been connected with the school at Jerusalem, and was sought for counsel, as recorded in 2 Kings 22, verses 13 to 20, and 2 Chronicles 34, verses 22 to 28. At the time the Savior was taken to the temple to have made for him the required offering, the devoted Simeon recognized him as the promised Messiah. And there was also present upon that occasion Anna, a prophetess, who dwelt in the temple, probably in the college or school, as did Huldah. Thus it is evident that when Peter, on the day of Pentecost, in harmony with Joel's prophecy, declared that, as a result of the outpouring of the Spirit, the handmaidens and daughters should prophesy, it was not a strange thing to the church to learn that women should share in the prophetic gift in the gospel age. The Son Speaking. He who spoke in diverse manners in old time hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. This, of course, includes Christ's personal teaching when on earth, as we have it in the four Gospels of the New Testament. That was not, however, the whole of his teaching for the last days, for when he was about to leave the world, he said to his disciples, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give unto you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." John 14, verse 16. Respecting this Comforter, he said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." John 14, verse 26. Again, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." John 15, verse 26. Of the special work of the Comforter, which was to abide forever, the Savior said, "It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." John 16, verses 7 to 12. All that was to be spoken by the Son was not accomplished when he was here in person, for he said, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." John 16, verses 13 and 14. Of the coming and work of the Spirit, our Lord further spoke to the disciples, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Luke 24, verse 49. A record of the same conversation is also given in these words, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise, fulfillment of the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Acts 1, verses 4 and 5.